First you told us only through you could we know God. And if we dared to question, he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors. For you we shed our blood and fought so many pointless wars. Now you try to tell us there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few. But about 6 billion people no doubt will agree, this world is our home, not your property. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we built the railroads, built cities on these shores. But because you own the money, you say that it's all yours. We laid the phone lines and the pipelines, and then right before our eyes, you say these things are taxes paid for. You now will privatize. Privatize the hospitals, privatize the schools, privatize the prisons for all those who break your rules. And preparing for the day when all the wells run dry, you say you own the very rain that falls down from the sky. But it's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the water all around the earth, our future is your downfall, only cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. You claim to own the harvest with your Terminator seeds. You claim to own the genomes of every animal that breeds. You claim to own our culture and the music that we play. And with each song that we download to your coffers we must pay. You'd even own my name and you'd say it's for the best. Maybe you'll let us on your radio if our songs can pass your test. You own country, you own Western, you say you've given us a choice. You may own the airwaves, but you'll never own my voice. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the music all around the earth, our future is your downfall when you cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would own everything all around the earth, our future is your downfall. Only cut this ball and shame. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain.
Good evening and welcome to Corporations and Democracy for September 19th, 2024. This is the program that examines how corporations dominate our democracy and what citizens are doing to replace corporate dominance with true democracy. I'm Steve Scalmanini with co-host Annie Esposito. In today's program, we will continue our series on election integrity after we looked ahead to the general election in November and saw plenty of opportunity for election chaos and voting shenanigans that we've seen before, not just like in 2020, but other elections in which vote suppression was rampant. In the second half hour of today, we'll be discussing the new movie just released this month on voter suppression, and it's from voter suppression expert Greg Pallast. It's titled Vigilantes, Inc., America's New Vote Suppression Hitmen. But first, in the first half hour, let's discuss the upcoming 2024 election workshops to be held biweekly at the Mendocino Community Center. And that's with Jim Tarbell of the Grassroots Institute. Jim is a co-founder of the Grassroots Institute and a co-founder of this very radio series, Corporations and Democracy. As a matter of fact, this month is the 26th anniversary of the program, which began in September of 1998. Some listeners might remember the 25th anniversary program. That was just a year ago, and in which we featured several hosts that had been with us over the years, including Jim at that time. And we have the janitorial service in the room for the moment, in case you wonder what's going on in the background there. Anyway, so let's have a look at the upcoming 2024 election workshops to be held biweekly at the Mendocino Community Session. Jim Tarbell, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Well, Annie and Steve, it's so nice to be here again. So nice you guys are carrying on this wonderful tradition of looking at corporations and democracy.
Yeah, and you're carrying it on in a different way now with the Grassroots Institute. And before we get into these panels, discussions that you're sponsoring, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Institute itself?
About the GRI?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, the Grassroots Institute, the full name of it is really a Grassroots Institute, Progressive Solutions for the Common Good. And that's really what we've concentrated on since 2015. Actually, it started in 2014. So it's actually been 10 years. We started first with a little study group, and then we had classes at the Mendocino College in Fort Bragg campus. And the name of that series of courses was Grassroots Solutions to Corporate Power. And it was a popular, and we did that for actually two or three years. We did it in Willits, we did it in Ukiah, and we did it in Fort Bragg. And we had a lot of people, and it was exciting. I think a lot of people got educated. That was the idea. We'd educate ourselves first about what the problems were, maybe what the problems of corporations and big money coming into a town, but also just the problems of this town and the society and what some of the solutions might be. So then in 2017, we decided that education is fine, but it's time to take a little action. So we started a project called Building the Economy for the Common Good for Mendocino County. And we did classes here in on the coast and in Willits, and we involved a lot of people in looking at all the institutions in Mendocino County that were working to make systemic changes that would solve some of the most endemic problems that we have, from income inequality, social inequality, the corruption of money in politics, all those things. And it was a exciting time. It got a little disrupted by the pandemic, but we're thinking about bringing it back up. We still have that study guide on our website. In fact, we have study guides for both those courses on our website, and we'll probably go back to those courses after we do this election, 2024. Once the pandemic came, in 2020 we had like 22. Different workshops on that election that year. And as you remember, it was kind of an exciting time. We covered a lot of stuff, local, national, state elections. We watched the state legislatures, and we had a lot to do with, we dealt a lot with gerrymandering, because in 2000 and 2020, 2030 is when the census happened, and that's when the state legislatures determine what the districts are in their states. So we followed that, and then we followed all the other politics. But it was a fascinating, it was an interesting time. But now here we are, we're back to looking at restarting our education program, and it's really a community discussion program. But to look at our local electoral system and the national system and the state system and see how it works and see what policies are maybe on the docket here that could change if things go one way or the other. And we hope that, a lot of people show up. I can talk to you about more later. I don't know if you're ready to get into that now, or you want to talk about something else here first.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should get into the panels that you have coming up, because that's the reason that we wanted to have you on the show. But just one more thing about the Institute, Grassroots Institute in particular, is that you put out this Justice Rising magazine, and it's going to be coming out again very soon, right? And dedicated to journalism, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's been we've had a fantastic time. The Justice Rising is a publication of the Alliance for Democracy, and our GRI came out of the Alliance for Democracy Mendocino Coast chapter. And we've done this in a thematic magazine, and it was the main reading material for all those classes. And so we've done it, almost 20 years. We've been doing Justice Rising. I've been doing Justice Rising. It's what I call a periodical. You can get it online at thealliancefordemocracy.org. It's been very interesting. And this one was a particularly, everyone. We did a couple on war and peace, which was fascinating. But this one is on media democracy. We call it... building a new media landscape in order to have a stronger democracy. Because, the media and democracy is just so intertwined. And we did this with a group from Project Censor. I don't know if you remember Project Censor. It came out of Sonoma State.
Very much.
Now a nonprofit. And they look at all the news stories that are not covered by the mainstream media. And they're very much now into critical media literacy. And they were very helpful. We had academics from all over the country write stories for us, and they said, we're proud to do this. What an honor to write for Justice Rising.
All right.
So it just went to the printer last week. It'll be online in the Alliance for Democracy probably in a week or so, and the print version will be out I haven't heard from the printer, but I would guess the probably mailed out in a week or so. So that'll be something for everybody to look forward to. I may not all be subscribers to the Alliance for Democracy or for Justice Rising, but if you want to see it, that would be one way to do it. Or you could even contact me. I could probably get you a copy. Anyway. It's a great issue.
Yeah, okay, so now people, our listeners know who. This series of workshops you have coming up on democracy and election, it seems like that's the thing that people really need right now. Do you want to talk about when and where and how is this all going to happen?
Sure. Well, this follows up somewhat on what we did in 2020, is we looked at almost all aspects of the electoral system. And this year, we're going to kind of follow two different tracks. One, we're going to look at all of the issues that are involved, the voter suppression, the gerrymandering, the... what the polls are saying, what politicians are saying, what issues are on the dock here, as I was saying, and so that's going to be one part of it. But then, we're not going to stop at the election, because judging from 4 years ago, it's not going to be over.
So we're gonna
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
We don't know what is going to happen, of course. We have no idea what's going to happen, but I would guess that it will be a rugged experience for everybody. Hopefully not, but it may be. And so, but we're ready to watch that and follow it, follow the timeline of all the events of the elections and the verification of the votes and the setting up the seating of the Electoral College and the verification of the Electoral College votes, which is on January 6th, 2021. So all those issues we follow, we're going to follow. And we're doing it. We're doing an interesting thing this year. We always have had two people do these workshops. I'm going to do the workshops, but we're also going to have a co-host, at least one or two co-hosts for every workshop. And the workshops happen every 2 weeks. I should say that. They happen every 2 weeks. The first one is going to be on September 29th. It's a Sunday afternoon. So they're Sunday afternoon from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We'd love to see you all there.
At the Community Center in Mendocino?
Yeah, the Community Center in Mendocino. And... if you're interested or if you have questions, you can contact me. I'll give you my email address here. It's rtp@mcn.org.
So this,
But I, you know, we're getting some very interesting people to be co-hosts. That maybe Annie and Steve will even be co-hosts. That would be fun. A woman named Donna Brownsey, who is chair of the California Coastal Commission, now lives in Fort Bragg, has agreed to do one. Peter McNamee, who has been a big part of the growth of GRI, who has a very interesting story because he was involved in the 1970s with Tom Hayden and Jane Fonda's campaign for economic democracy, and it convinced him that he should run for county clerk in Yolo County, which he did. And he got to know George McGovern because he was head of the George McGovern for President campaign in 72 at UC Davis. And they got more votes than almost anybody else. So he got to know George McGovern. And George McGovern gave him, came to some fundraisers for him and did some 30-second spots, and he won. He became county clerk. That was the idea, the people taking over. So he did that, and then he went to Harvard and got a master's of public administration. He's just done an amazing amount of things in Sacramento since then. So there are people that are going to be very knowledgeable that'll be co-hosting these workshops. That should add a whole interesting flavor.
Okay, so let's repeat again for people. So these election democracy and election workshops are going to be beginning Sunday, September 29th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Community Center in Mendocino, and they're going to go every other week past the election. And I was so delighted with that because I know there's going to be many bumps in the along the way. There's going to be votes that are going to be challenged, and there's going to be counter lawsuits to free the votes. And so people are going to be feeling, you know, like insane. And if there's this group going on to examine it and talk about it, it's going to be a real important thing in the community, I believe.
Yeah, we certainly feel that's true. People are want to be able to get together and discuss it. And largely these are discussion groups. It's not like we're lecturing. It's where everybody's bringing information into the discussion. And we're trying to figure out not only what's happening, but what we can do about it, how we can get engaged, how we can make the democracy stronger, how can we be involved and make sure that really the will of the people that is shown in the election is followed. So, you know, don't let insurrections or protests or lawsuits or anything else get in your way. We got to make sure that we keep our democracy strong because it's threatened. It's definitely threatened here. You know, I worked at the Capitol for 4 years, actually for a Republican congressman when I was in college. And, you know, I used to give tours of that building. I was abhorred when I saw what was happening on January 6th. It was just, I took it very personally.
Hard to believe, wasn't it?
A horrible thing.
To put a little perspective here, it's 6 weeks roughly before the election right now, but your series of workshops, bi-weekly workshops, will be going easily more than 6 weeks, maybe 12 weeks after the election, because it's going to go through early January when something may come to a head. But go ahead.
Yeah, it may not be over until the inauguration.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure that somebody's inaugurated. The right person. We want to make sure the right person is inaugurated. The person who fairly won the election. And, because there's so many things that can go bad, probably more than you and I could even think about. People out there thinking about it. You know, one of the things we're going to look at is this Project 2025 that was put together by the Heritage Foundation that is a kind of a blueprint for what a Republican administration can do once it gets into office. And it's really delegitimizing our democracy. You know, it's making it so that a lot of the career public servants that have done so much good, like at the Environmental Protection Agency and others, would not no longer be on the civil service network or system, but would be appointed by the president. So they'd be political appointees that would march to his orders and not to what was the best for the world.
Yeah.
So
I should put a moment of perspective in on that, which is that the whole civil service system began, I believe it was 1880s, but around that period of history. So it's been, you know, pushing 150 years since we've had that. And that was created during the, was that the progressive or populist era? I guess populist era at the time. And, but that was in response to many years of political appointees acting excessively in federal government. So that's how the system came along. So now we have Project 2025 wanting to bring it back.
Yeah. So, you know, it's why, you know, we're citizens of this country. It's our responsibility to make sure that the right thing happens. We can't just, you know, sit at our TVs and blah out. We have to be active. We have to talk. We have to support each other. And we have to support our democracy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what we're going to be working on.
Let me mention, I'm hoping we can get some kind of, you know, Zoom activity or connection with that, with those workshops. But that's something that I'll try and help you work out, and we'll just announce that to the public.
I hope we can, too. We haven't really approached that topic, but we will. And, hopefully set up a Zoom. It depends on how good the Wi-Fi is.
Mm-hmm.
At the center. That's one of the main.
And the community center, by the way, now that is the a block behind the grocery and hardware store.
That's right. It was the old middle school, and right. When you come to that stoplight in Mendocino,
the upper stoplight, I call it. The
upper stoplight. There's only one stoplight really. When you turn it down, it's to your left. So you just take your first left.
Yeah, first left. And you'll see the baseball fields or the playing fields there.
You go past the baseball field, and you'll be at the community center.
Yeah, great. Okay. If anyone wants to call in with any questions for Jim, the number here, 895-2448, in area code 707, of course, 895-2448.
You know, I was just looking at the headlines just from today. Republicans make new push for Nebraska to change its voting rules in Trump's favor. Confusing language on gerrymandering proposal will stay on Ohio's ballot. Network of Georgia election officials strategizing to undermine 2024 result. So this is just what's going on today. I just can't imagine, as the election gets closer, the amount of chaos that's going to be out there. So
So that's what we'll do at these workshops, is we'll get those headlines for the week. And then we'll all go through them and talk about them. And what do they mean, and why are they happening, and how can they be stopped or changed, or are they the right thing to do, or, mm-hmm. you know, all that discussion. But it'll be a place where people can really work all this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And,
excellent.
And people get anxious. they feel like they're powerless. So mm-hmm. hopefully these workshops let people be a little empowered. And build community around this, because they're really community building events, mm-hmm. these workshops.
You know, in the past, this publication that you were talking about, Justice Rising, has taken on elections. We've had problems with elections for a long time. I've been told ever since George Washington didn't run for a third term. But anyway, you in one of those issues, you took a look at electronic voting and at polls. What are some of your feelings about polls? We're seeing polls right now,
You know, polls, well, there are two kind of polls, of course. There's the pre-election polls, and I'm not convinced that you can really trust the pre-election polls at all, because, you know, they're just a small part of the percentage, and it all depends on how the questions are asked, who you're asking the questions to. But there are also exit polls asking people as they come out of the ballot box area, you know, how they voted. I think they're much more dependable. And what is, I think, was upsetting to people for a long time was that the exit polls were differing from what the electronic voting machines were saying. So people were worried that the electronic voting machines had been, you know, rigged somehow. And at that point, initially, when those machines came out, there was no backup paper ballots. So there was no thing that you could take and verify, one, against what the machine was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So after, you know, that was In fact, in 1988, Ronnie Duggar, who founded the Alliance for Democracy, wrote a long piece in the New Yorker, one of the first pieces about this, about voter fraud and how it could happen. And it's a very interesting piece. And so that's what got the Alliance for Democracy, I think, really on this topic. And it's been a big topic. But, you know, now at this stage, almost all states, and Georgia may be one of the questions. I'm not sure exactly what Georgia is doing. But almost all states have this paper backup for every vote. And then they can do, they take like 10% of the of those paper ballots and count them and check that against what the machines are telling them. And that seems to have satisfied people's concerns about the electronic voting machines, both about the machines and the tabulators that, that tabulate the ballots. So there's two levels of electronic gizmos that, that could be, you know, could be manipulated somehow. And there were certainly a lot of examples. You know, we did those Justice Risings, one in 2005 and 2016. And it was better in 2016 than it had been in 2005, but now I think it's even better. That I think that people aren't so worried about the voting machines anymore. And one of the odd things that happened is, of course, you'll notice that the Republicans have jumped on this, and the Republicans have said that voting machines are bad. And before, the indication was that if there was fraudulent stuff happening with voting machines, it was favoring the Republicans. So it's almost as if the crooks are going against, you know, what has been favoring them. I can't, well, I can't really see.
There's plenty of press giving to the idea that the confidence in the election is being undermined ahead of it. We have one caller calling in here. Let's see what someone has to say. Okay. Hello, caller, you're live on the air. What's your comment?
Well, you know, I'd like to hear Jim's thoughts about the more structural problems with democracy in the United States. For example, you know, the state of Wyoming gets one congressional seat for having 300,000 people in the entire state. A congressional seat in California has 750,000 people in it. So that means that, you know, these small states that automatically get a congressional seat on, and two U.S. senators to vote on every piece of legislation are have a lot more voting power to enact legislation than large population states. And so how can we call ourselves a democracy when there really isn't one person, one vote? And I look forward to hearing his thoughts on that on the radio.
Thank you for that.
That's a very familiar voice. I believe that was Peter McNamee. And it's true. You know, the voters in Wyoming have 60 times the voting power of a voter in California. And, you know, that's because they have two senators and one congressman. And it's also how the Electoral College is oriented. So these rural states have a lot more power. Each voter has a lot more power than people in urban areas. And it's not what I would call a fair democracy at all. It was a trade-off at one point, you know, years and years ago. But, he has a very good point. It's completely wrong. We should get rid of the Electoral College. We should, and we should have, it should be one person, one vote.
Yeah, indeed. And that's being worked on two ways. By the way, the point in time you mentioned was 1786 and 7, around there, you know, when the current Constitution was written and created.
That's right. But the
Alice is waiting.
Yeah, I guess it was probably in the Constitution where that was pointed out. I've always heard that was a trade-off between, it was a legislative trade-off. Maybe that they put the Capitol in Washington if they gave, I can't remember what it was, something like that.
Yeah.
But there was a trade-off to give the smaller states more political power.
Well, another program that we all have also spoken here on the program in a few years back is the National Popular Vote, it's called. But anyway, it's to work around the Electoral College by simply the Interstate Compact is about, I think it takes two-thirds of the states to, some of them around that number, to create enough states that will commit to sending their electoral votes to the popular vote winner in the state. And anyway, that is one of the ways to work around the Electoral College that is underway.
Hey, you know what? I bet we have Greg Pallas coming right up.
I bet you do.
So Jim, before we let you go, do you want to say once again how people can catch up with you for those democracy in the election panels that you're going to be doing?
Oh, sure. Well, you can email me at rtp@mcn.org. You can go onto our website, grassroots-institute.org, and there should be some information there. And just remember, you can just show up. And there's no cost to these workshops. You just show up, and if you're there, you're part of the scene. And we'd love to see as many people there as we can get.
Beginning Sunday, September 29th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Community Center of Mendocino.
That's it. Every 2 weeks after that.
And thank you, Jim Tarbell, for being our guest for the first half hour and a little more for the day. And feel free to hang on quietly or tune in over the airwaves to hear the latter half with Greg Pallast.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
I'll see you.
I won't be doing interim music to get right to our next topic. So for the second half of today is the longtime investigative reporter, Greg Pallast, known for his investigative reports for The Guardian, mostly. It's in the United Kingdom. And for the bestseller books, including The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And he has just released his film about the latest attacks on the right to vote. It's called Vigilantes, Inc., America's New Vote Suppression Hitmen, narrated by Rosario Dawson and produced by Martin Sheen. And you can actually stream it now for free at the website saveyourvote.org. And by the way, in the promo this play for the last week or so, I had plans to show this around the county to get that underway and got started on that over a week ago. But that was before the good fortune of being able to stream this for free came along. So,
but donations are appreciated because that makes this fantastic investigative work happen.
Indeed. So let's have a look at the new movie Vigilantes, Inc., America's New Vote Suppression Hitmen. Greg Pallast, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Hey, glad to be with you. And I think you should still have showings because, you know what, we're having showings in Atlanta, San Francisco with KPFA on Wednesday and with the NAACP, Black Voters Matter. I just did Jesse Jackson just had me show the film at Rainbow Push at their convention in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And actually he waylaid President Biden and Kamala Harris and told them they had to see the film.
Yeah,
so
right.
There you go.
See, that's great. That's a lot of press that's building just in the last week or two.
Yes, over 500,000 people have seen the trailer, which is unheard of. And then today, I don't know, may have already happened. Leonardo DiCaprio will be launching our website, Save Your Vote. Not save my vote, not save Greg's vote, saveyourvote.org, saveyourvote.org, where you can stream the film for free. But even more, the reason we call the site saveyourvote.org is that you can look up to see whether your registration is still active. You can get the phone numbers in case you get challenged and need legal help. California is not so bad in the general elections. Primaries are hellish in California. The massive vote suppression in California during primaries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that in the next primary that we have coming up. But right now, we're talking about something that I want you, which may not affect California much, so I want you to go to SaveYourVote.org and send that link to all your activist friends around the country, your inactivist friends, and your goofy uncle in Iowa who thinks that Trump actually won the last election. Mm-hmm. Now, Vigilantes, Inc., America's new vote suppression hitman. This is the story in which I, as an investigative reporter, hunt down these self-proclaimed vigilante vote fraud hunters who've been challenging other voters' right to vote. This is a brand new thing. In fact, Kamala Harris just hired a guy, Mark Elias. Mm-hmm. First time Democratic Party's ever had an expert on vote suppression. First time they've ever touched the issue. And he has said that the number one threat to the 2024 election are vigilante vote challenges, a trick that grew, that went viral out of Florida. And let me tell you, we've had our film follows the first. We start out in Georgia, where 88 vigilantes, every one of them a white Republican official. I'm not being partisan. It's just that's the facts, ma'am. Every one of them a white Republican official. They challenged, ready, 180,000 voters in Georgia. Now, our work, we were able to block almost all of them, but they did get about 12,000 people knocked off the voter rolls. If they had doubled that, Biden would not be president. Okay. Now,
that's scary. Say that again. It would have affected.
I'm going to make it more terrifying. We had 88 voter vigilantes in 2020.
Yeah.
Just in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
The group that did that, True the Vote, there's a guy that put out that nutty, that wacky film that black called 2000 Mules.
Mm-hmm.
In which they created this hysteria. The black 10 million people saw that film. It was launched by Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And you'll see it in our film. We take apart that film, 2000 Mules. But it's been very influential in getting laws passed that allow you to challenge other voters. So I can say to you, you can't, hey, you don't really live in Mendocino. You can't vote here. And you're screwed because you may not even know you've been challenged. And if you've been challenged, you actually have to go into your county clerk's office, prove you are an American citizen, that you are who you are, and that you live where you live. It's almost entirely aimed at black people. So there are 88 voter vigilantes in Georgia 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The same group has now signed up 40,000 voter vigilantes to hit in 43 states. What you do is you sign up, you get a list of your neighbors in your county, because you can only challenge in your county, and you challenge your county, and one, you'll see in my film, one woman who works with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Donald Trump, a Republican Party official named Pam Reardon, she personally challenged 32,000 voters. You will meet her. I go undercover and get into her house, and I start talking to her about did Donald Trump really lose the election in Georgia? And she said, no, because there's all these people who don't live here that are voting. And I said, okay, 32,000. Okay, so I showed her a photo of one of her black neighbors, a young woman named Tamara Horn. I said, you know Tamara Horn? No. Ever call her? No. Ever spoken to her? No. Have you gone to her home ever? You visited her home? No. I said, but you challenged her right to vote and you took away her ballot. You took away her ballot. Mm-hmm. And 32,000 other people. She says, I can't call 32,000 people. How can I call 32,000 people? And I said, well, but you could, but you challenged their right to vote under this new vigilante laws starting in Georgia, where it literally says in the law that you can challenge an unlimited number of people. Now, we were able to block her challenges in Atlanta, in the burb of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, they changed the law again so that we can't challenge the challenges. You literally have to physically go in. So now you're going to meet another guy whose vote was challenged, and he didn't get his ballot. Major Gamaliel Turner. There's this one vigilante you'll meet in the film Vigilantes, Inc. And again, you can get the film Vigilantes, Inc. at saveyourvote.org. You can stream it for free. Check your registration, by the way, there and get the other information you need. And you can pass on to people all over America, please. California is not the problem
on
this election.
Yeah,
but it could be in your area because you've got you do have tight congressional races. Remember, there's not just the presidency here, guys, ladies and gentlemen. We're not just voting for one office. Now, this one vigilante is the vice chairman of the Republican Party. He is the chairman of the Republican Party in Georgia. This guy actually dresses like a vigilante. He dresses up in cowboy boots, cowboy hat, if you see the film, and he has a and he came to my interview with a holster and a loaded six gun. He made the point that it was loaded with the pearl handle, the whole thing, you know, the holster. He thinks he's Doc Holliday, the vigilante from the OK Corral.
We might just mention that the other person, the vigilante, that Pam Reardon, she was also armed to the teeth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when I went into her and I showed her, let me go back to that story. When I showed her Tom Ahern's photo and she said, I can't look at 32,000 people. But I can't look at 32,000. I can't call 32,000 people. And then I said, well, you know, you might be violating, according to the NAACP, you have violated the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. Are you familiar with the Ku Klux Klan Act? And she said, no, I'm from Canada. I'm not kidding. That was her answer. And then I said, but you challenged all these people's right to vote in violation of the law. And she said, that's when she threw me out. Now, my local camera crew, there was an AR-15 loaded next to her door. There's ammo to the ceiling. She has automatic weapons all over the place. This isn't some redneck. She's a very wealthy woman in a fancy mansion wearing a Nancy Reagan red dress. And she threw me out. And then she started swearing at me. I said, I'll go because I don't mess around with people with automatic weapons. I said, I'll go. But I just want to know, is this your legal voting address? And she went berserk and she called me names that I cannot use over the public airwaves. In fact, I had to cut out most of it from my film because I didn't want to lose a PG rating. And she chased me out with the gun. And thank God our great co-producer, Zach Robertson, cinematographer, he's not afraid of guns. He's been in undercover in really nasty scenes. So he kept shooting. And then, so we were also worried when this vigilante had this loaded gun.
So now we're back to Doc Holliday here.
Yeah, Doc Holliday. Back to Doc Holliday. So I said, do you know, so he had challenged 4,000 voters. One guy challenged 4,000 voters. They just send in an email with a list that they get from this group, True the Vote. So he sends in 4,000 challenges. Almost all the challenges were African-American soldiers based at Fort Benning, Georgia. Including Major Gamaliel Turner. Major Gamaliel Turner is, as Rosario Dawson tells you as a narrator, he is the Pentagon's expert on warfare of the future. Because we will have some warfare in the future, I'm sorry to say. So he's preparing. But he was assigned to Fort Hueneme here in California. And his vote was challenged because he wasn't in Georgia. Well, guess what? Soldiers are assigned to military bases from Afghanistan to Germany to California to Saipan. Guess what? You don't lose your vote because you're a soldier assigned somewhere else. You get an absentee ballot. You don't lose your vote as a soldier, even if you're a black soldier. Major Turner is African American. And they took away his, and this vigilante challenged his vote. Now you have to understand. So he calls up. He doesn't get his ballot in the mail. He calls up the County Board of Elections. Where's my ballot? They said, Mr. Turner, you've been challenged. He says, what does that mean? I've been challenged. This vigilante challenge. Mm-hmm. He said, well, so what do I do now? They said, no problem. You just come into the office, show us your ID, prove you're a citizen, prove you what your home address is, and we'll give you your ballot. And he said, you're telling me two days before an election that all I have to do is show up and prove that I'm an American citizen? And he said, again, the reason he said again mm-hmm. is that he's 70 years old, and he remembers the Jim Crow era mm-hmm. very well because his father, Reverend Harold Turner, was the co-founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference with Martin Luther King. This is a so they picked on a guy from a serious civil rights family. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you, he did fly 5,000 miles round trip, and he brought in Mark Elias from Washington, D.C., and he went to federal court. Can you imagine? He had to go to federal court to get his vote counted. The other 4,000 soldiers, Elias asked the court, they said, this is so bogus. Please give these people back their vote. The court refused. They said, well, we'll count Major Turner's vote because he came in. He flew the 5,000 miles round trip.
Mm-hmm.
But they would not give the other black soldiers their vote back. Biden almost lost Georgia because of this. But now this time, he absolutely will lose Georgia 100%. You heard Greg Palast say it, unless we stop these vigilantes now. The NAACP expects hundreds of vigilantes in Georgia to challenge 300,000 voters. That's what they expect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ready for this. We've gone from 88 vigilantes in Georgia to 40,000 nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Last August, I looked, they had already challenged 851,000 voters. 851,000 voters. And I just got a note that they have now said that they've busted through 1 million challenges. 1 million. And most people don't know they've been challenged. Look out for a postcard, guys, from your county clerk, because it's supposed to send every voter challenge a postcard. But most of these counties have no facility to even send out a postcard. And they have no facility to have hundreds, even thousands of people march into their office to get their votes back. We have to fight this now. But you got to start out by protecting your own vote. That's why I say go to saveyourvote.org. Look up whether you're still registered or you've been challenged. And you got to keep looking it up. If you've been challenged within now, you can re-register in, mm-hmm. in every, just about every state. You can re-register in the next couple of weeks within 30 days of the outside of 30 days of the election. Now, some states, if you have any friends in Wisconsin, warn them about this because they can re-register. Nevada and Wisconsin, people can re-register on the day. So if you go show up and they say you've been challenged, your name's not on the voter roll, say, well, let me re-register right now. They usually don't tell you that. Like in California, they never tell you that you can re-register on the day. Mm-hmm. California, Nevada, Wisconsin, a couple of other states, North Carolina, you can register on the day. So if you get any garbage about your name not being on the voter rolls, say, fine, put me on the voter rolls. Give me a registration form. I'm registering right this minute, and then I'm voting. Do that. And watch the damn film.
Yeah, the damn film. Let me say that it is terrifying, but it's also beautiful. And it's worth watching just for the interview of Major Gamaliel Turner. And then there was another elderly woman, even older than me, who was a cousin of Martin Luther King, who fought in the civil rights movement for her vote, has voted every year until this time when she got knocked off. And it was just so moving and sad to see that her granddaughter was in tears, to think of what these people had gone through for the right to vote, then to have this, what is basically a straight line from the Klan to what you are now calling vigilantes, to see it's still there and it's been refired up. So the whole movie is important, but watching those interviews, it just is really an amazing experience.
Well, in fact, it wasn't even so much interview. Like in the case, let me go back to the elderly woman, 92 years old, been voting at the same voting station in Atlanta for 50 years mm-hmm. since her cousin, Martin Luther King, was assassinated. They said, you're not on the voter rolls anymore because she doesn't live in Atlanta. I went to her house a few blocks from the voting station. And there was her house. There was a picture of her having dinner at that house with Martin Luther King, her cousin, 92 years old. And when we were there at the polling station, we were watching one black voter after another. Every voter rejected, every single one was black, We saw one after another. And when she was thrown out, you'll see her granddaughter. She's thrown out with her walker into a storm, by the way. And she's thrown out into this storm. And her granddaughter was hysterical and in tears about this woman losing her vote, her grandmother losing her vote. And so we just happened to be there and film it. This was not planned or staged or set up interview. We happened to be there. And then you were talking about one of the other things that is so important. So like with Gamaliel Turner, the soldier, when he tells his story and you meet his family. But I also confront Governor Brian Kemp, who somehow, like HBO is doing a film about him that he's a hero because he wouldn't overturn the vote for Trump. Well, he wasn't a hero. Donald Trump got indicted for a felony crime pulling this stunt. And Kemp and his Secretary of State, Kemp is to the right of Trump. He's a vicious, racist vote suppressor of the worst order. But he couldn't help Trump because he wasn't going to go to prison. Trump thinks it's a badge. It's a badge of honor to be indicted for a felony crime. Most people don't believe that. Also, Trump can pardon himself of the federal crimes. There is no judge in the world who's going to put a sitting president behind bars. What, with the red phone there? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. It's not going to happen. Okay, so Trump doesn't have to worry. Kemp did. So he wasn't heroic at all. So I jumped this guy. I followed his campaign bus because he wouldn't talk to me. And when he got out of the campaign bus, I said, are you knocking off black voters so you can win this election? Why do I have to sue you in federal court to get the names of the black voters you've knocked off the voter rolls? Mm. His response was to have me arrested, by the way.
Really?
He had me arrested by the state police, detained, on the claim that the owner of the parking lot of the pig roast where I hunted him down complained about me being said I was trespassing on his property. Then the owner came out and said, trespassing? This is the first reporter who's ever asked our governor a real question. Oh. I like this guy. So I want you all to go, and I want you to support, by the way, I want you to support this wonderful station. In fact, I'm going to make you a deal. You can go, yes, you can get stream the film for free, send out the link. But if you want a signed DVD, you make a $100 donation to this station. This is off the top of my head. We haven't discussed this before. You make a $100 donation to this station. I will send you that DVD gratis. As a thank you gift for supporting this wonderful weapon of mass destruction in Northern California.
Greg Palace. I appreciate
Just let me know
that.
How many you that need indeed. And what names I sign it to. I'll personalize it. So you, Dave, Mike, Lenny, please make a donation to this wonderful station, and I'll send you a DVD.
Right after you watch Vigilante Incorporated and make a donation to keep that going, because that, if anything saves us from losing our democracy altogether, it's the kind
Thank
of work
you.
That you're doing.
And if anyone wants to get in a question, 895-2448, the usual number here at the station, 895-2448. Greg, question for you about how can the chaos on Election Day or some the chaos be eliminated by people trying to vote early but through the same means? And do you know if they can get, does it vary by state what they can do? And can you shed some light on that?
Yes. Okay. So number one, all but three states have early voting. Hmm. So, and California has way early voting. Vote as early as you can. Vote as early as you can, because if you have been challenged or you have been purged, you can in California get it straightened out, or you can in California, you can re-register on the spot. Mm-hmm. Okay. And same in Nevada, if you're listening in across the border, but tell everyone, vote early. So if there's a problem, they can get it straightened out if possible. And of course, in California, we are a mail-in opt-out state. That means that you get a ballot in the mail, but be very, very careful about how you fill it out. If it says fill in a bubble, don't put an X. Mm-hmm. Sign your name exactly as you registered. Mm-hmm. Make sure you got the correct return address. All these things will get challenged. There are Republican, and I'm not being partisan, a whole bunch of Republican challengers in Northern California who've already committed to do things like check your signature as if they're some type of forensic experts and challenge that your signature doesn't match. So be careful about how you sign. But that's why the best thing to do is not mail in your ballot, but go and vote early, please.
Vote early in person then.
Yeah, vote in person early if you can. That's the safest way to protect your ballot. We lose about one. And the other thing is, in California, we have a habit of giving out provisional ballots like candy. Mm-hmm. Over a million provisional ballots were handed out in California, over a million. And guess what? About a fourth of them never get counted. So when the little lady behind the desk says, oh, you don't have to re-register, just fill out this provisional ballot. Don't. It's a placebo ballot. It makes you think you voted. You haven't. There's a 1 in 4 chance your ballot will never be counted. Mm-hmm. And if you're black, there's a 700, you're 700% more likely to have your ballot rejected than if you are white. So be very, very careful. Do not accept the provisional ballot because it's not a ballot. Mm-hmm. It's a placebo.
There's a place on the California Secretary of State page where you can check if your vote was received, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, that's if you can check, but if they haven't received it, you better go in and vote early.
Yeah,
so you can check that. You can check that site through vote.org, which will be at saveyourvote.org. And I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, and so we can't thank you enough. So saveyourvote.org and also gregpalast.com, P-A-L-A-S-T. And you must see, I think in public radio, you're never supposed to say like a direct command. But anyway, you must see Vigilante.
We hope you will see Vigilante, and you'll enjoy it. It's entertaining. It's a movie. It's not just a white guy in front of a bookcase, though I'm a white guy in front of a bookcase
actually
right now.
Really exciting, actually. I was going to ask you how you managed to corner your subjects. Maybe that's a trick.
We go undercover, which you can't do with U.S. broadcasters. We can only do it out of BBC and The Guardian. U.S. broadcasters would never, ever let me go undercover. And that's the only way to do the real work of investigation. Mm-hmm. So you'll see real old-fashioned gumshoe investigative reporting, a lot of fun, a lot of tears in this. Believe me, people cry and they should at some of the tougher parts, but there'll be some laughs there too. So I thank you. And join me at saveyourvote.org, and please support this wonderful station.
Okay, well, we can't say it enough, and we'll mention that on our pledge drive coming up in a month or so. I'll mention the premium available. And
yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg Palast, for being our guest today. And hang on when the show ends. If you got a minute, we'll chat offline for a minute. But this has been Corporations and Democracy. We're here on third Thursdays from 7 to 8 every month. We'll be back next month. I believe it's the 17th of October. And any questions you might have about the kind of issues we deal with here, you can read about them at thealliancefordemocracy.org.